about in the past have been atrocities are cast with instruction or without. Recollection, Terry, I'm not the oldest. Philip might have a better memory than I have. Ken.
I think you're right. I think we haven't had a rule or indeed a past problem with the number of proxies given to any one individual.
Given the need for formal rigor in the voting, the main voting item today, perhaps we can have clarification from counsel. Is Kurt prepared to comment on this?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Bruce Tonkin. Carrie, there's nothing in the bylaws that specify any limits regarding proxies.
There's nothing in the bylaws that specify that proxies may even exist.
That's true.
Yeah, but, you know, Carrie, this isn't a new news to me about using proxies, right? We use proxies on all of our calls, and all substantive policies
exist. I agree. In the absence of any rule in the contrary, I think there's no problem.
Good day. This is Ken Stubbs, and I'd have to reaffirm Marilyn's observation as well. I believe that in some of the most critical votes over the last, including issues that were incredibly contentious, even expansion of namespace, CRPs, and so forth, there have always been proxies used and acknowledged and never questioned. The process has never been questioned in the past. So I would be reminded that it would be acceptable now. I do want to make sure one thing is all right, Bruce. I'm assuming you're on the call, and that is that if for some reason someone assigns a proxy to someone who is not on the call, and if that person, such as Amadeo or Tom Keller or Bruce Duncan, is on the call, that they have the right to reassign the proxy should they decide to do it, or to revoke the proxy should they decide to do it.
I think that's correct. Yeah. In fact, Ken, I'm just checking. There is rules of procedure. So we basically have, there's a statement on the website that says the GNSO will operate under the rules of procedure for the Old Names Council, except in cases of conflict with the bylaws. And under those rules of procedure, there's a section relating to proxies, and that states that only elected members may cast a proxy vote on behalf of another member. So you can't appoint someone from outside the council. A council member may designate a member as his or her proxy by email to the council list or during telephone call. If the names council member is able to participate in a telephone conference but is caused to leave, they may then designate a proxy. So you can designate a proxy during a meeting. The designated council member must confirm willingness to accept that proxy. And a council member may revoke the proxy at any time. So that's the rules of procedure that we're operating under. So in answer to Carrie's question, then, under those rules of procedure, there are no limits on the number of proxies any individual council member may hold.
Thanks for the clarification.
And it sounds like we've clarified that the person taking the proxy needs to affirm their willingness, so we should probably confirm Alec has agreed to take those proxies. Is that correct?
I believe so. Let's just do a roll call and see who we've got on the call, and we can do that at that time. So, first, Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
So, yes, if you're here. Marilyn Kay. I'm assuming you're there, Marilyn.
Yes, I'm there. Sorry.
Grant Forsyth.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Grant. Ken Stubbs.
I'm here, Bruce.
Carrie Carp.
Here.
Philip Colville.
Yes, Bruce.
Thank you, Philip. Tony Harris.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Tony. Tony Holmes.
He's absent. Apologies to Tony, proxy to Tony Harris.
Okay. Tony Harris, do you accept Tony Holmes as proxy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Greg Ruth?
Absent. Apologies and proxy to Tony Harris.
Okay. Tony Harris, do you accept Greg Ruth's proxy?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Jessica Wu?
Jessica Wu has said that if she is not on the call or has connectivity problems, her proxy goes to Mark Schneiders.
Okay. Mark, are you on the call?
I'm on the call, Bruce, and I accept the proxy.
Okay. Carlos Alfonso?
Bruce, this is Mark. I think he will join, but he might be slightly late. Because his office opens at 9 and that's when we start.
Okay. Ross Rayner?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Okay, Tom Keller?
Yes.
Bruce Tonkin, I'm here. Nicholas Lagergren?
Nicholas is absent. He sent his apologies and his proxy goes to Lucy Nichols.
Okay, Kiyoshi?
Hi, I'm here.
Thank you. Lucy Nichols? Lucy Nichols online. Amadea?
Yeah.
Okay. Demi Gitschko? Alec Wilson?
I'm here.
Demi Gitschko, Austria.
Oh, thank you, Demi. Okay. Now, Alec, you have been asked to act as a proxy, I think, for Ross Rader, Tom Keller, and Bruce Tonkin. Is that also Amadea that's asked as well?
That's correct.
And do you accept those proxies in the case of item 3?
I do.
Okay. Thomas Rossler? Cool. Okay, well, we do have quorum.
Bruce.
Yes?
Hi, this is Mike Plate. I just wanted the record. I'm here as the, you know, the GNSO Names Council board member. I'm just listening to sort of what's going on as usual. I just wanted the record to reflect that I'm here, and I'll be quiet for the rest of the call.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. Sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry, Bruce, there was a comment after Mike's, and I did not hear it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I thought I had heard another beep just then. I wanted to please join.
Okay, did anyone just join?
Bruce, okay. Can you hear from ICANN staff, please?
Kurt Pritz, I believe, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Is there anyone else from...
Tina Dan.
Okay, Tina.
And Barbara.
Barbara.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Barbara. So welcome, Tina, Kurt, and Barbara. Okay, so let's proceed with the agenda for this call. The first item on the agenda is to accept the minutes from the council meetings, I believe, in June. And also, I think there's one meeting, early in July, is that right, Jen, please?
Yes, that's right. 16th of June and 12th of July, and the minutes have been out for some weeks now.
Okay. So we have someone to propose accepting those minutes?
Yeah, Ken Stubbs, so moved, Bruce.
Thank you, Ken. All those in favour of accepting the minutes say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll note those minutes as passed. The item 3 on the agenda is for decision, which is on the criteria for designating a successor for the .NET registry. And as chair of council, I need to declare a conflict of interest in that the company that employs me has a 10% shareholding in ULevel, and it's quite possible that ULevel may well put in a application in response to a request as a successor for .NET. So in that case, I will hand the chair for this item over to Philip Shepherd if he will accept that role.
Thank you, Bruce. I so accept. So to proceed with item three, we have a written resolution which is related to the report on .NET. I'll be reading that in a moment, then opening discussion, and then taking a vote on that. I've also seen that we had also statements of conflict of interest from Tom Keller, and his vote has been passed by proxy to Alec, and also from Amadeo, also vote passed by proxy. Is there anybody else who would like to so declare a conflict? Potential conflict.
Philip, this is Ross here. It's quite a late time, so it may hit the list in the next few minutes, but I'd like to do so as well for the similar reason.
Okay, Ross, that is so noted, and I understand your proxy has already been passed and accepted to Alec. Anybody else?
Philip, this is Ken Stubb. I'm not going to declare a conflict of interest, but I want to make the council aware of the fact that I am a director of affiliates. But I would also like to make council aware of the fact that as a member of the council representing the GTLD constituency, my vote in this matter has been directed by the appropriate members of the constituency. As such, I will be voting as a representative of the constituency, and regardless of my vote, my personal views on the issue may or may not be consistent with the vote that I am taking. Thank you.
Ken, thank you for that clarification. Any other statements of conflict or statements at all? Okay, I'm hearing nothing, so we'll proceed now with the resolution. The resolution was sent by email. I hope you all had a chance to look at that. But I think for clarification, what I will do is read it in full and then open discussion, and then we'll take the vote. So the resolution that we are going to be voting on is the following. In response to the letter from Paul Verhoef on 31st of March 2004, requesting that the GNSO provide advice with a consensus statement defining the criteria to be applied in the selection of a successor registry operator for .NET, and, in accordance with Section 5.2 and 4.3 of the .NET Registry Agreement, the GNSO recommends that the following criteria, as detailed in the final report of the GNSO subcommittee, be applied. Absolute criteria related to the targeting. Absolute criteria related to continuity. Absolute criteria related to policy compliance. Absolute criteria related to stability, security, technical and financial competence. Relative criteria related to promotion of competition. Relative criteria relating to stability, security, technical and financial competence. Relative criteria related to existing registry services. And provide the attached written report, which includes all substantive submissions to the GNSO relating to this recommendation, as required in Section 4.3.1 of the .NET Agreement. Absolute criteria are thresholds which an applicant is expected to meet, and relative criteria become relevant once absolute criteria are met and are recommended as a basis for comparison and evaluation of competing applications. So that is the resolution that we'll be voting on in a few moments. There was one change to what we saw as a written version of that, which I'd ask Glenn you to make note of, in that the URL reference to the report, I think, was wrong in the email, and perhaps you can correct that in our final resolution.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. And secondly, on the report itself, there was a necessary change to Annex 2, just to record the date this vote is taking, which is currently written as an estimate of the 30th of July, and that obviously needs to be just changed to today's date. So also, if that change could be made once the vote is taken. In my capacity as chairman of the .NET committee, I reported to council, I think, a number of times in terms of the philosophy that we put behind trying to develop these criteria. So I think rather than wasting time repeating those, I'll open up now for any discussion on the resolution that we're going to be taking.
Yeah, Philip, I won't, just as Ken says.
Okay, let me take a list in a case, and I note Ken's name is first. Who else?
Hi, this is Alec Wilson. I'd like to be last, please.
Okay, Alec going for last. Who else?
Philip, I have a question. It's Marilyn.
That's Marilyn. Who else? Okay, we'll start with those three, and that's Ken.
Yes, Philip, mine is not a question or a comment regarding the proposal or the issue that we're voting on. But I forwarded to members of the council, and I apologize for the last minute delay, but for their consideration, the caveat that would be included in a the transmittal accompanying the report to the board. I'd rather discuss that after the report has been voted on. This will give members of the council the opportunity to take a closer look at it and be in a position to talk about it after the vote.
Ben, sorry, could you speak a little bit closer to the mic?
Yes, Amadei, I'll be happy to. The proposed statement has essentially nothing to do with the report itself, but rather refers to some additional items in the RFP. So hopefully we can talk about it afterwards.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much. That's noted. We can indeed take that as an item after we voted. Marilyn, you're next on the list.
My discussion really relates to just making sure that we have time following the vote to discuss an additional item or two. So I joined in the queue after the vote.
Okay, that was also an AOB point. Thank you. Alec, you are now last.
If there are any other persons who wish to speak, could you put them ahead of me? Otherwise, I'll speak.
Does anybody else want to speak at this point? I think you have the final word, Alec.
Okay. Given that I'm voting not just my own vote, but also numerous other proxies, I want to make the following comments. Obviously, I've read the report and attachments. I note that this report is supported unanimously by members of the subcommittee, and I also note that the opportunities for outreach and public comment were comprehensive. Two 20-day periods of public comment and substantial input where subcommittees from each GNSO constituency and their large advisory committee typically consulted with their constituencies or executive committees during the course of the subcommittee's work as the basis for their contributions. That's all I've got to say prior to the vote.
Okay, Alec, thank you. Thank you very much for that. I think also in relation to public comment, there may, even after our referral to the board, be a further period of comment available, I understand, from an email I saw from John Jeffrey. Anyway, if there are no other comments or questions, I will move to a vote. Just to pause to see if there are. No, I'm assuming not. Okay, in that case, we're moving to a vote. And I would like to start with Marilyn Cade. So this is voting on the resolution that I read out earlier. Your vote, either yes, no, or abstain, please.
Yes.
Thank you, Marilyn. Grant.
My vote is yes.
Okay, Kiyoshi.
Yes.
Lucy, are you on the call yet? Okay, it looks like we've lost Lucy and her proxy from Nick. Carlos Afonso, are you on the call? No. Mark Schneider?
Yes, and I vote yes.
And your proxy for Jisuk Wu?
Is also yes.
Thank you. Tony Harris, your vote and your proxy is for Tony Holmes and for Greg?
All three are yes.
Thank you very much. Ross, no. Ken Stubbs, your vote. Ken Stubbs? I'll come back to you. Carrie Karp, your vote.
Yes.
Philip Colebrook.
Abstention, abstaining, Philip.
Okay, thank you, Philip. Demi, your vote. Demi, are you with us?
Yes, this is my vote.
Thank you very much. Alec, your vote and for your proxies?
I vote yes, and I vote yes for Emma Dio, Ross Rader, Thomas Keller, and Bruce Tonkin.
Thank you very much. Ken Stubbs, your vote? I've lost Ken.
Hello?
Ken, yes. Ken, can I have your vote? Is it yes or no?
Yeah, I'm voting against in my capacity as representative.
So that you're voting against, did you say?
Yeah.
That's a no. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, I think that completes the votes. And I believe the vote has been passed. Glenn, do you accord with my mathematics?
Yes, the vote is passed.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 in favour, that'd be right?
I think some votes count for two as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to do this.
16 I've got, yes.
And the 16.
And some of those count for two, and there's one no vote, one abstention.
Yeah.
And three people did not vote. Carlos Alfonso, Nicholas Lagergren, and Lucy Nichols.
Yeah. Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much, everybody, for that. That resolution will be passed on swiftly to the board. And that allows us to move to the second statement concerning statement from the Great Estuaries. Bruce, would you like me to continue chairing this section before I move on to AOB?
Yeah, because I believe that Ken's statement is probably referring to .net, so yes, please.
Yeah, okay. Ken, the statement I think that you refer to, I think, has not been sent to the complete council, as far as I'm aware, so you will need to remind everybody what it's about.
Oh, actually, Philip, yeah. Just before you go, did you yourself vote on that previous
I think you're fine, absolutely right. Thank you for reminding me. Probably why I miscounted. I forgot to vote, and my vote was yes. So please note that in the log, Glenn.
And yeah, I believe there's a total of 20 votes that have been cast in favour.
Hello? Hi. Carlos Afonso getting in finally.
Okay, Carlos, you're... Carlos, we're just taking a vote. And you're joining us just in time to cast your vote. It's on the resolution that has been sent to you by email.
Right.
Could I take your vote now? Is it yes, no, or abstain?
Yes. In favor, yes.
Your vote is yes. Thank you very much, Carlos. I'm glad we just got you in time. Glenn, also please note that last vote. So that moves on to the AOB section of the .NET discussion.
Philip, it's Marilyn. Yeah. Actually, can we just do the roundup on the tally of the votes? Once again, for the record, sure that we have that recorded correctly because we think it's a difference.
Okay. Glenn, what do you give us of the tally for the votes?
21 in favour.
Mm-hmm.
2 against, and the abstention that counts for 2, And two people have not voted, Nicholas Lagergren and Lucy Nichols. Have they perhaps joined?
Sorry, I don't think that's quite right, Lynn. My count is slightly different. I've been noting it. I have two absents, Nicholas and Lucy.
Yes.
I have an abstention from Philip Colebrook.
Yes.
And a no vote from Ken Stubbs.
That's right.
Okay.
And the no vote for Ken Stubbs and for Philip and the abstention, they are people that count two votes.
Right.
Yeah. So just as my understanding, I think if two people haven't attended the call and have not been part of the vote, I'm just trying to, because the critical thing here is not just the fact that it's been passed, because there's 21 votes in favour, but whether there's a two-thirds majority. So there's a, just want to clarify, so we've got 21 votes cast.
Yeah, Bruce?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. If you take the total number of votes that are capable of being counted, I believe that you'll find that there should be, I believe, a total of 29 votes.
27.
27.
All right, if that's the case, the majority of the 27 votes would be 18. So we had 21 votes cast in favor, so we would have a consensus in excess of two-thirds.
Good. Thank you for clarifying.
That's
correct.
I agree with the count 21.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so all agreed. We have 21 votes in favor. We have one person, two votes abstaining. We have one person, two votes voting against. And we have two absentees.
Correct.
We therefore have a greater than two-thirds vote in favour of this.
So we are able
resolution.
We're able to declare this consensus support.
That's correct. Yes.
Absolutely correct. Okay. If we're happy on the mathematics, we will move on to this potential statement from the registry constituency, Ken Stubbs.
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, I apologize to the members of the council who have not yet received the email. This is not a matter of sandbagging or last-minute mistakes or anything like this. It was just strictly a matter of trying to get it crafted and completed, and I would like to acknowledge the fact that I did send a copy of this out originally to vet it with Bruce Tonkin as well as IGAN staff members. So this is just a proposed statement that we was crafted at registry constituency meeting yesterday during our conference. And I'd like to read it to you and hopefully open it for discussion. The registry constituency strongly believes that all...
Cam, it is almost impossible to hear you.
Well, then, Marilyn, why don't you go on? I'll dial back in again for the call on a different line, okay?
Could we have Bruce read it, please?
Well, I'm chairing this current session, so I can read the statement for you.
Okay.
For Ken. Okay. The statement that has been circulated is the following. The GTLD Registry Constituency strongly believes that all material provisions of the new .NET agreement should be made known to the public in the draft and final RFPs. This includes, but is not limited to, any information regarding proposed fees to be paid by the subsequent .NET registry operator to ICANN. Only with such information can applicants truly propose a realistic, viable, and appropriate business, technical, and financial model. In addition, such information known in advance by the applicant will also help in ensuring a smooth negotiating process with the successor operator after its selection.
Thank you very much, Philip. I apologize. I hope people can hear me clearly now.
That's much better, Ken.
And let me just, it's Marilyn, let me just say that actually this is the topic that I wanted to discuss as well.
Okay, well, we'll have a discussion in a second. Let Ken perhaps just give us background and clarify what he's saying in his statement.
Well, I think the statement is pretty self-explanatory. I think it's important that all of the information made that is available as soon as possible to potential applicants, because we all know that the financial aspect of any relationship like this is important in helping to work a practical business model for any applicant, regardless of who they may be. And I think that it's just a good approach to take in dealing with a proposal like this. It just makes the whole thing much more, the process much more predictable and much easier to deal with on all sides.
Absolutely. What you're appealing for is clarity of information in terms of what's going to be in front of any proposed applicant, and in particular, what fees they're likely to be paying to ICANN.
Well, I think that's principally it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a discussion on that. We know Marilyn wants to speak. Anybody else?
By the way, I would like to say, when I say you, I'm talking about this with something among you being the constituency, you know.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Understood. We know Marilyn wants to speak. Anybody else? Nope, then Marilyn, go ahead.
Yes, Philip, this is Mark Schneiders. I would like to say something about this.
Mark?
I think this is sort of popping up.
Wait a minute. I'm taking a list, not opening comments yet. Anybody
okay,
else
sorry.
Wants to speak? Nope, then we'll start at the top of the list, and that was Marilyn.
Topic came up during the discussion that the cross-constituency meeting members had with the board and the staff in a more general way, and then was discussed within our constituency as a general topic. And I do understand the concern that's been expressed by the registry constituency, as because it's also expressed by some of the applicants. I guess I would say the following. I do think it is important to have clarity on the kinds of fees and the scope and scale. At the same time, fees that are initially published during the RFP process, so to speak, may change over time by necessity, and I think that is something that we have to be realistic about. For instance, there is a change in the fees that the registrars pay, but that has been developed over a period of consultation and dialogue. So, lending, as it turns out, I think the general support to the concept that the registry constituency is raising, but also noting that there does have to be some flexibility, and if what you're proposing is a consultative process, including the opportunity for comments from the council or something of that nature, perhaps that's a way to address this.
Can I respond to that, Philip?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, Marilyn, I agree. I think from a practical standpoint, I guess what we're really saying is that we need to have a predictable process in place, and predictability does not necessarily mean a some certain, but rather the predictability lies in the fact that there is a knowledge that a process needs to be in place in order to be able to manage the financial relationship. That process could be fixed or it could be variable. We understand that. And it's just that if, I could get off the wall and say that if somebody decided after the fact that if you elected more than 50% of the members of your board who are left-handed, the fees would be this versus that, all I'm saying is that I think there has to be some sort of definitive process for dealing with future fees and as far as this contract goes. That's all.
Okay, thank you for that. Mark.
Thank you, Philip. I want to say something similar to what the mayor and Kate already said. I think apart from the fact that this is rather all of a sudden that this pops up, we cannot bind our hands now about fees in the future. Recently some fees to ICANN also changed. I think ICANN should be able to keep this open to a certain extent. Thank you.
Yeah, Philip, I would also like to say that this is a transmittal. Remember, this is advice to the board. This is not cast in stone, and that's why the caveat I made prior to the board's vote was as such, and that is that all we're saying is that if the council agrees that this makes some sense, that we would hope the board would consider the possibility of making sure that in the RFP there is some sort of descriptive as to how they would propose that fees would be managed in the future or something along that line. That, you know.
Yeah, yes, I mean, you are, I note in the phrase, and we are, it does use the phrase proposed fees, which may hint at that, that flexibility. Perhaps there's an assertion we can make to clarify on that. Marilyn.
I have a follow-up comment, and I'm making this comment as an individual counselor, but one who is elected from the business constituency. I do not, however, think that ICANN should look to the increase of fees through the registries or registrars, which are then passed on to the registrants as a open-ended funding source, and exercise restraint and prudence and its growth and expansion and on a core function for which it has been created, and do those core tasks with excellence.
Okay, thank you for that statement. Now, Ken, if I understand it correctly, your proposal is to ask council, and this would mean a vote, to attach this statement to the resolution that we've just passed on the report as some sort of addition. And I think I'm probably happy to go forward with that, but let me just check that the rest of council is also happy that we would move to a vote on that.
Carrie to speak, please.
So we have Carrie. Anybody else?
Mark Schneider.
Mark, anybody else? Okay, then Carrie.
We voted on the subcommittee report, and we're going to be transmitting it in whatever direction it is that we're supposed to transmit it. Presumably there will be some sort of a cover letter to that, or there could very reasonably be a cover letter. And I would suggest that Ken's text, or actually my constituency's text as well, and then there's other similar comments might be incorporated in that cover letter, rather than somehow appended to an appendix of a document that we've already decided on.
Absolutely, yes. This would be the intent.
Yeah. Point of order, that was my intent, Philip. I don't want to touch the document. That Mark's concerns would be well-founded if that, in effect, was what I was trying to do. All I was saying is you're going to send a cover letter along with it. Here was a suggestion for an item that should be included in the cover letter, and I wanted to know if the other council members felt that it made sense to do that, and if they wanted to take the word proposed fee and change it to proposed fee structure, I don't care, or whatever makes sense to the council. That's all.
Okay, Mark.
Bruce Tonkin, Ken, would you like me to forward that message to the council so they can see the text? It's probably a bit hard to...
Yes, I could. I already did that. That's why I thought Philip was reading.
No, I don't believe it's gone to the council list.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I got it back myself, but maybe... yeah, please do, Bruce.
Do others have that note that Ken is referring to?
This is Mark Schneider. I did not get it, and that is why I am now making some trouble, because I don't want to vote on a text that I haven't even been able to read.
Bruce is Grant here. I similarly did not receive it.
I'm sorry, Bruce. I sent it from my normal email address, and I don't know what the problem is. So it would forward that to the council. That's fine.
Bruce, the text hasn't arrived in the council list.
Okay, I'm going to forward it now. Just hold on.
Okay, so Bruce will forward that text now, so hopefully we'll have a chance to look at the statement then. I can also read it again before we move to a vote on it. What it's saying, I think, is something that probably as council we would typically be happy about, where the caveats are already made by council members. I have two small grammatical changes that I would propose making to it. Glenn, if you're back with us, indicate those to you. I think we would probably take up Ken's suggestion to make it proposed fee structure. Yes, I think in the sentence that follows that, the words is are redundant for the structure of the sentence.
Sorry, which word, Philip?
It is.
It is, yes.
And they can be deleted. And probably towards the end of the statement, the phrase successful successor is a tautology, and maybe successful could be deleted.
Philip, the sentence that you just, where you just deleted, it is?
Yes.
Would you read that again? I think you need to delete that as well.
Well, the sentence that I think it should be, that's the third sentence, would now read, only with such information can applicant truly propose a realistic, viable, and appropriate business, technical, and financial model. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So let me read that statement slowly, and hopefully simultaneously it will appear in front of your eyes, those who are currently online. And then we can move to a vote. If that is a problem for anybody, then please let me know after I finish reading the statement. And the idea here is we would attach this to the cover note that we're sending the report on .NET that we have just voted upon. Before I start, Ken, your existing statement starts, of course, with at a constituency statement.
No, that was what I was.
I presume we would change this to.
In other words, here's how we feel, and from a practical standpoint, we would hope that the wording as recrafted, this was only intended as a draft or conversation and adjustment. So,
okay, I've just received that email back, so others should receive it.
Okay, how about this for phrasing, that the GNSO Council endorses the GTLD Registry Constituency belief that, and I go ahead and then take the statement from there. Would that be acceptable to all parties before I go on to the content? So what we're saying here is that we are, as a council, endorsing a statement of the GTLD Registry Constituency. I'm hearing silence. I presume that will be okay from all parties.
Philip, may I speak?
Alec, yes.
Several things. First of all, procedural. I am uncomfortable that we're receiving something as lengthy as this statement so late in the proceedings. I believe that in the future we should try to have these in front of everybody in email form well before the meeting. In the circumstances, I think that I should seek re-instruction on my proxies as to whether they wish me to vote them on this matter or not.
I'm Carrie to speak, please.
Philip,
if I may carry on.
Yeah.
On the substance, it seems to me that your proposed wording change, that we endorse the registry constituency concern, I believe that we should speak for the whole of council, While it's been raised by the registry constituency, I believe that if we support it, then it has greater strength if it's in the name of the council alone.
Philip, will you put me in the queue after Kerry, please?
I would indeed. Okay. Alec, yes, on the point in terms of delays, I think we heard from Ken that he had a technical problem earlier. We certainly agree with you, and that is indeed what we endeavour to do. And indeed, as you know, we need to get this done today in terms of .NET, and it makes sense to go with our report rather than subsequently.
Yes,
I would, before the vote, just do what you suggest in terms of rechecking on those proxies. And I'd now move to Carrie.
I'll defer to Ken.
Okay,
well,
Ken.
Yeah, what I was going to do is support Alec's wording as well. I don't think it's a necessity to refer to the registry constituency. That was not the purpose there. It was
okay.
More of a matter of putting a statement like this out. I'd also like to publicly apologize. You guys know me. I've been a member of the council for 5 years. I would not do something like this as an 11th hour move. This was something that, in reviewing the final wording of the committee, was noticed and kind of vetted, and we threw it out to the council with the idea that it might be something that, from a practical standpoint, could at least be brought to attention in some sort of a transmittal letter. It was never meant to be a major policy item. I hope that the council will take it in that vein. Thank you.
Okay. It may be we could take this by a vote of acclaim rather than a tally under those circumstances. We can check that in a moment, but let me first of all make the proposal as to what we are going to vote upon. And I would suggest it is the following statement, as amended from what you may have seen now by email. The GNSO Council believes that all material provisions of the new .NET agreement should be made known to the public in the draft and final RFPs. This includes, but is not limited to, any information regarding the proposed fee structure to be paid by the subsequent .NET registry operator to ICANN. Only with such information can an applicant truly propose a realistic, viable, and appropriate business, technical, and financial model. In addition, such information, known in advance by the applicants, will also help in ensuring a smooth negotiating process with the successor operator after its selection. And my proposal would be that we now move to a vote, which I'll take simply by acclaim, that is by ayes and nays, rather than to count on this.
This is Bruce Thompson.
Bruce?
Philip, I'd probably prefer that you actually do it by name.
Okay.
And because in that case I would provide my proxy on this vote to Alec if he wishes to accept it.
Okay. Can I ask then, those is there any change from anybody in the proxies that they previously made available on the .NET report vote they want to make now for this new vote? Please let me know if there's any change. I'm hearing nothing, so I presume that all the proxies we have previously will still be the same. And I'll now move to the vote. And I'll start myself this time, so don't forget me, and I'm going to say yes. Marilyn Cade.
Yes.
Grant.
Yes.
Kiyoshi.
Yes.
Lucy with us now? No. Carlos. Carlos Alfonso? Yeah, I'll come back. Mark Schneider, you and your proxy?
I and Yusuku abstain.
Okay. Tony Harris, you and your two proxies?
The three, yes.
Thank you. I move to Ken Stubbs.
In favor.
Thank you. Carrie Karp.
Yes.
Philip Colebrook.
Yes.
Demi.
Yes.
Alec, you and your proxies.
Philip, I think we need to confirm that my proxies are still on the call and they are still instructing me.
Bruce has co-confirmed that. Tom, are you on the call?
Sorry, in any case, for Alec, as I declined to participate for a conflict of interest, I'm not giving him any instruction. So he's free to use the proxy as he seems fit.
Okay. So Amadeo is allowing you to use a free proxy. Bruce has done the same. Tom, do you wish to give instruction to Alec for a proxy? Do you wish to vote? Or do you wish to give him a free proxy?
No, I do the same thing as Bruce and
Okay. So you have a free proxy also, Alec and Ross.
Alec is free to use the proxy as he sees fit.
Alec, are you clear on your proxies?
Yes, I am. I vote. My vote and all my proxies, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, this is Lucy. I unfortunately just joined the call.
Lucy, have you any idea what we're talking about now?
No.
No, you wasn't sure. Okay, we're in the process of taking a vote. I would suggest for...
Is Nicholas?
Nicholas is not on the call. Kiyoshi is on the call.
Kiyoshi, okay.
It's up to you if you want to take a vote.
If possible...
May I give Kiyoshi my proxy?
This is Kiyoshi. If possible, I'd like to request Lucy or advise Lucy to vote in favor or take her proxy.
Okay, Lucy has just suggested that she gives her proxy to you, Kiyoshi.
Okay,
you
so, on behalf of Lucy, I say yes.
Thank you. Glenn, you're clear with that?
And Lucy has the proxy of Nicholas.
So that's a yes, too.
Okay. So that should finish...
Point of procedure, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. The proxy given by Nicholas in favour of Lucy, does Lucy have the right to give that in turn to Kiyoshi?
You're correct. Lucy should vote for Nicholas.
No, she doesn't, unless that is actually transferred, instructed, I think, at the time by the original voter, so I think we still have to count Nicholas's vote as out, unless Lucy now wanted to take.
Can I just briefly Lucy on the nature of this vote?
Say again.
Can I just...
I trust Kiyoshi's opinion, so may I vote? May I take Nicholas's proxy and vote yes?
Yes, you may.
Okay, let me do that then, please.
Okay. So, Glenn, do you have your tally yet for that vote?
24 in favour. There were 2 abstentions, and 1 person did not vote. So those were 3 more votes, which would make up the full amount of 27.
Glenn, we don't have a vote, and Philip, we don't have a vote from you. Philip?
Yes, you did. You had a vote from the very beginning.
We do?
Yeah. I think I agree with that math. So we've got 24 votes in favour, 2 abstentions, and... One absent. Okay, I think that completes the .net section of this call, so I will hand back to the chair.
Philip, Gary, one final point relevant to .net.
Gary, yes.
I don't know if it needs to be done, but perhaps it should. Is the .net subcommittee hereby dissolved?
That's a very good point. I would like to move the .net subcommittee is hereby dissolved. Does anyone have a problem with that? Would like to speak against that proposal?
I'll second the proposal.
Okay, the proposal was seconded. Let me put that to a vote. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no. Those wishing to abstain, please say abstain. Thank you very much. That was unanimous. Carrie, thank you for the reminder. Bruce, over to you.
Thank you, Philip. That then just leaves us with the final item, which is any other business. The one item of any other business I have is in regards to the document that I submitted to the committee of the council in regards to the procedure for approving changes to a GTLD registry agreement. That was submitted, I think, in the week just prior to the meeting in Kuala Lumpur. I guess I've had no response from council members on that, and I'd perhaps just like to ask the question whether any of the constituencies have had any meetings or discussions on it, and whether perhaps we should hold a meeting next week to decide whether to submit that document for public comment formally, or whether we require any further changes before doing so.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. I think we need to advance that.
Yeah, so would perhaps, may I suggest then we hold a call in a week's time, perhaps the same time next week, just on that topic, and the purpose of that would be a meeting to agree to submit the document for public comment, and that then gives people a week if they have any other changes that they wish to make to that.
This would be the 12th, yeah?
Yes.
I only express a little concern, Bruce, because I wish you had known that was a proposal a little early, because the registry constituency had a teleconference yesterday, and I would have loved to have been able to vet that with them. Now we're in a situation where it's going to be tough to get the kind of consultation we need between now and next week. So
Ken, are you speaking?
I can speak. I can just hear what Ken's saying. I think he's saying that the registry constituency, if I'm correct in what you're saying, Ken, hasn't had a chance to consider that report. Is that correct?
Well, we really haven't had the chance to consider it in depth. We've been focusing more on the other issues up to the KL meeting and around this specific vote here. So,
yes.
You know, being as that we're the constituency that most significantly impacted by this action, I would have hoped that we would have had an opportunity for a little more specific deliberation.
Okay. Would you like then 2 weeks from now to consider that and respond?
Yes, I think that would be a much more appropriate time frame for us, and I assure you it will be fully vetted prior to that meeting.
Okay, well, I'll schedule a conference call for 2 weeks' time then.
Thursday 19th?
Yes, that's right, Bruce.
Bruce?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we probably ought to add further work on the other topic that we should be discussing, which is the process related to the introduction of new GTLDs as at least a topic for that call.
Certainly, yes, we can do that.
Bruce, it's Grant here. Can I just get in the queue?
Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
I have to leave the call to join the non-con call, and I just wanted to draw to the attention of fellow councillors the fact that the non-com has extended the date for call for candidates or applications until the 25th of August, and I would urge persons on this call to think as to who they know in their international community who may be worthy candidates for the 9 positions that the non-com has to fill this year, and personally contact those people and seek their applications if that's appropriate. That's all I wanted to do. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
I'll leave the call now. If there's any further voting, I'll pass my proxy to Marilyn.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Bye.
So, there any other business anyone would like to raise? Okay, then I'd like to thank everybody for attending the call, and we'll close the call at this point. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.